Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Today we are going to learn Shir Chavav, the 26th installment in Sefer HaMitzvahs, which corresponds to the study of Perik Yud Dalad and Tezvav of Hichas Tefillah, which really is, in many, many versions of Mishneh Torah, a separate set of halachas called Nesiat Kapayim, the laws of raising the hands. As you'll soon understand what that means. And then we go into a set of halachas which is called Tefillin, Mezuzah, and Sefer Torah. You know, the kind of things that scribes and Torah professionals have to work on manufacturing. And so we have correspondingly two positive mitzvahs today. We're going to begin with the 26th positive mitzvah of the Torah. This is a commandment that was given specifically to Kohanim. As the Rambam writes, Hatzivoy, the divine command, Shenitztavu HaKohanim, that the Kohanim were commanded, Levorech es Yisrael, that they bless Israel, B'chol Yom, every single day. As it says in the Torah, in Chumash Bamidbar, which is Numbers chapter 6, verse 23, Vav Chav Gimel, it says, Ko Sivarachu es Bnei Yisrael Amar Lohem. This is how you should bless the children of Israel, say to them. The halachas of and rules and laws of this mitzvah are for the most part found in the last chapter of Masechet Megillah, as well as Masechet Ta'anit and the seventh chapter of Masechet Sota. So to further develop and unfurl the mitzvah, what is the essence of this 26th mitzvah of the Torah? It is meaningful for us to take a look at the Sefer Mishneh Torah. First and foremost, the Rambam tells us in Hilchas Nesias Kapayim that just as prayer is a biblical mitzvah, but the biblical mitzvah of prayer was apportioned into different times of the day, so there are a specific liturgy and a specific context and a specific framework into which this mitzvah fits, the way we observe this mitzvah today, the same thing also applies to Nesiat Kapayim, that the Kohanim bless us, generally speaking, by Shacharit, by Musaf, and by Ne'ilah, which is the final prayer that, according to the Gemara, is recited every fast day. In our day and age, only recited once a year on Yom Kippur. Generally speaking, at Mincha services, we never have Nesiat Kapayim. And the reason is that people have already eaten. And since they have eaten, there's a good chance they also drank. And since they drank, there's a chance they also drank that which is an intoxicant. They had wine. And a Kohen who drinks wine or is shikur or is drunk is not permitted to duchen, not permitted to give this special blessing. So factually speaking, this mitzvah is observed in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim every day, in many parts of Eretz Yisrael every day, in other parts of Eretz Yisrael only on Shabbat, depending on different customs. And the Kohanim will go up for Shacharit, for Musaf, and also for Ne'ilah. In our day and age, outside of Eretz Yisrael, in the diaspora, we only have the Kohanim reciting this bracha, giving us this bracha on a Yom Tov. And specifically, not in Shacharit, but only at Musaf. So it's only once during the day. At Shacharit, on a Yom Tov, a Shabbat, or every day, the Chazan recites the verses of Birchat Kohanim. And he doesn't do it at Mincha, unless it's a fast day. Because since Kohanim would not give the blessing because they would have eaten and drunk already, and then they might be intoxicated, so that's why at Mincha it's not applicable. The custom is that once a year, the Kohanim give the bracha during the repetition of Shmoneh Esrei of Shacharit rather than Musaf, and that day is Simchas Torah. And the reason simply is that it's customary to make Kiddush and to have a little L'chaim before the Hakafis, and that wouldn't work for the mitzvah of Birchat Kohanim. So this, what's up with this mitzvah? Who needs Kohanim, regular people, to bless us? So the Rambam says in chapter 15, Halacha Zayin, in the seventh paragraph, he says the following. Va'al tisma, do not wonder. V'somar, you're going to say, ma toil birchat hedyot, what is this ordinary person? Well, maybe worse than ordinary. He's going to bless me. Who is he to bless me? How could his blessing be meaningful? So the Rambam says you should know, she'en kibul habracha tole b'kohanim. Receiving this blessing has nothing to do with the Kohanim. Ela, rather, b'hakadosh baruch hu. This is entirely contingent on Almighty God Himself. Where does the Rambam get that from? Because the Gemara says like this, Shalo tomar ish pleini megala aroyas. This person behaves immodestly. Shofech damim. He causes bloodletting. He's a horrible person. V'huma varacheni? He blesses me. So the Medrash says, Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God responded, V'chi huma varachecha? You think he's blessing you? Ani avarachecha? I'm blessing you, says God. The Rambam understands that these words of our sages are not just a poetic reference. It's not just a nice idea. But the Rambam understands that these ideas are actually literal. Now, the problem with that is that if somebody actually killed somebody else or caused somebody to die, he's not able to be a Kohen who serves in the Beit HaMikdash or gives blessings. So therefore, the sages tell us that in all likelihood, the Rambam understands the expression to be poetic. Kohen she'shafach damim, that doesn't mean literally bloodletting. It could mean a euphemism for shames or embarrasses. It could mean a euphemism for causes people to suffer. It doesn't mean literally, because the Gemara in Brachas tells us that a Kohen she'harages ha'nefesh, a Kohen who killed, lo yisa et kapav, he cannot raise his hands up in blessing. So the point then, that Rambam understands the details to be metaphoric, but the message to be exact and distinct and halachic. And he said, this is based on the words God says at the end of the commandment to the Kohanim, Ko tevarachu et bnei Yisrael, this is how you should bless the people. God says, V'samu et shmi al bnei Yisrael, I will place my name on the children of Israel, V'ani, and then God says, I, avarachem, will bless them, will bless the Jewish people. As the Rambam puts it, HaKohanim osim mitzvatam shenitztavu. The Kohanim performed the command, the mitzvah that they were commanded on, what Hashem gave them to do. VaHakadosh Baruch Hu berachamav, and God in His mercy, mevarech es Yisrael kicheftzo. God in His mercy blesses the Jewish people as He wishes to bless them. So we see very interestingly here that the Rambam is explaining this mitzvah that the Kohanim are but a conduit. It's not the Kohen who blesses, it's Hashem, it's God who blesses. But when the Kohen does his mitzvah, he becomes the convention, the mechanism through which God's blessing flows to the people of Israel. In the Sefer HaChinuch, he puts it a little bit different, the mitzvah Shin Ayin Ches. In the Rambam's order, it's the 26th positive mitzvah of the Torah in the Sefer HaChinuch, the Book of Torah Education. It's mitzvah number 378. And the Chinuch writes, Mishar Sheha Mitzvah, one of the origins of this mitzvah, Shechofeitz Hashem Betovo Hagodel Vareches Amo. God wishes to bless the Jewish people. God wishes. However, He wishes to do so Ayedei HaMishorsim, through those who minister, Hachonim Tamid Beit Hashem, who always remain in the house of God. Whose primary focus, kol machashavtam, the Kohen's thought process, the things that populate the Kohen's mind, are supposed to be dovka ba'avototo, he's supposed to cleave to Hashem's service. That's what's in his mind. He doesn't have plantations, he doesn't have orchards, he doesn't have fields. He's not thinking about land, he's not thinking about earthiness, he's thinking about holiness. V'nafsham kshura b'yirato kol hayom, his soul is bound, or should be bound, to the reverence of God all day long. And therefore, ubizchutam tachol habracha aleihem, and it's the merit of the Kohanim that this blessing will take root upon the Jewish people. The yizborchu kol maaseihem, all of their activities, their actions will be blessed, And he says, V'hinoyim Hashem aleim, the pleasantness of God will be upon them, which this actually is a reference back to the first time we find Birchat Kohanim given, just after the Shekhinah appears in the Mishkan on the eighth day of the Miluim, the installment ceremonies, and Moshe Rabbeinu blesses the Jewish people, V'hinoam Hashem Elokeinu aleinu, the pleasantness of God should be upon you and should establish your handiwork. Now, it's very interesting that the Sefer Achinuch takes this approach, which mirrors the original fulfillment of the mitzvah. It was Aaron HaKohen, in a moment of extreme holiness and extremely elevated consciousness after all these months of teshuva and spiritual engagement, that for 7 days doesn't leave the Beit Mishkan, and on the eighth day he sees the Shekhinah, and then his heart explodes as with blessing, and he spills blessing upon the Jewish people, Yivarechecha, Yair, and so on and so forth. And the Rambam seems, the Sefer HaChinuch seems to invoke this. The problem, of course, is the Sefer HaChinuch is talking about this mitzvah in a very pure sense, in a very organic sense, in the way if everything were as it should be, that all everybody was doing what they should do, and the Kohanim were living the way they should live, and their minds were, and their hearts were where their minds and hearts are supposed to be, so then in their merit the blessing is given. But the Rambam is talking on a very practical level. On a practical level, the Kohen may not be there. In fact, in today's day and age, Kohanim are doing what everybody else does. So how would that work? And therefore the Rambam clearly chooses the idea in the Gemara that questions this whole business. What do you mean the Kohen's going to bless me? Who is the Kohen to bless me? And the Rambam specifically chooses the answer that our sages give us, that it is not the Kohen, it is Almighty God. You do what God told you to do, and you become a conduit for God's blessings. So the Kohen blesses the people of Israel by Ahava, with a sense of love, and that's supposed to punctuate the Kohen's life and the Kohen's existence. And ultimately, it is God who spills his blessing upon the Jewish people. The Rambam also tells us that a Kohen that does not go up to give the Birchat Kohanim would thusly have nullified or contravened a positive mitzvah of the Torah. And in fact, he says, if you don't go up, it's like you violate 3 mitzvahs of the Torah, because the Torah says, Ko tivarchu et b'nei Yisrael, show you shall bless the Jewish people. Omar lahem, it's another instruction, you should say to them, and then v'samuet shmi, I will place my name. But the sages explain, the commentaries in the Rambam, say this does not mean that it's actually counted as 3 different mitzvahs in the Torah. It is 1 mitzvah in the Torah. It's just that factually, the Torah tells us this mitzvah in 3 different terminologies. And the Torah actually speaks to the Kohen 3 different ways, so therefore, he would violate ultimately 3 mitzvahs. It's similar to the idea of rounding the corners of one's face using a razor to shave is a violation instead of 5 mitzvahs, because there are 5 points along the face which the Torah prohibits using a razor. But really, it's 1 mitzvah in the Torah. It's not 5 mitzvahs. It's only that you violate, when you do the whole face, you violate. And the Kohen, when he fulfills this mitzvah 3 times, or at least violates this mitzvah when he doesn't do his job 3 times, because the Torah says, and 3 times uses the expression which seems to emphasize the idea of action. This is how you should do it, this is what you should do, and this is when you should do it. And there's much more, but this is a brief overview of the 26th mitzvah of the Torah. And now we move forward to We move forward in the order that we're doing. We move back to mitzvah 12. The mitzvah 12 is the mitzvah of the head tefillin. And this is very interesting, because the Rambam, on the surface at least, to me, seems to almost use contradictory language, and you'll see, I'll explain to you what I mean. In the old version of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, which is the traditional print of the Rambam and the Frankel's Rambam, it says, Hu shetzivanu lahaniach tefillin. This is the commandment to put on tefillin. The word hanacha means to put on. And that is that to put the tefillin on the head. As the Torah says, Vahayu, they should be litotafot, as frontlets, leather frontlets, beinenecha, between your eyes. And this mitzvah, the Rambam says, is repeated in the Torah no less than 4 times. So that's how it appears in the regular text of the Rambam. In the probably revised translation, we don't find the word lahaniach, the translation that the Rambam La'am uses, or the more modern translations of the Sefer HaMitzvahs. They word it in Hebrew, Hatzivui shenitztavinu b'maisei tefillin shel resh. The commandment that God gave us in the act. The problem is that doesn't really help us because we have the same verbiage with regard to tefillin shel yad. They translate it both the same way. So here we have lahaniach and lahaniach, to put on and to put on. And in the other version of the Sefer HaMitzvah, it says maise, hatzivush nitzavin b'maise tefillin. And the commentary on the Rambam La'am says that what is the maise? The maise, he says, is likshar tefillin b'rosh. Where does he get that from, likshar tefillin b'rosh? There's something called Minyan HaMitzvahs LaRambam, where the Rambam enumerated all the mitzvahs before he wrote the book of Mishnah Torah. First, he enumerates all the mitzvahs, just short form. And the mitzvah 12, the Rambam says, is likshar, even more than lahaniach, likshar, to tie tefillin barosh, the tefillin on the head. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk, v'hayula totofot beinecha. And I'm going to contrast this to the mitzvah we'll learn about tomorrow, which is the mitzvah of likshar tefillin bayad, but in the Pasuk with regard to the hand tefillin, it says ukishartam. And the bracha that we make on the head tefillin, for those who make a bracha when they put on the tefillin of the head, or those who made an interruption, which would require a bracha, is not lahaniach, but rather al mitzvat. In the actual text of the Rambam, when the Rambam actually talks about this mitzvah, just prior to in Hilchos Tfilin u'mezuzah v'sefer Torah, the Rambam lists the mitzvahs again briefly, shortly. So he says, first mitzvah is lihiyot tfilin al harosh, that the tfilin should be on the head. Mitzvah number two, lekashrom al hayad, to tie them on the hand. So we have this dichotomy in the words of the Rambam. Sometimes he uses the same verbiage for both tefillin shel rosh and tefillin shel yad, the head tefillin and the head tefillin. And other times the Rambam is very careful and chooses different language. And there's a famous teaching from the Ragachover that one is a mitzvah of action, a mitzvah of commission, and the other is a mitzvah that the mitzvah is fulfilled once the tefillin are there. Not that it's a mitzvah to put it, and he's medayik, the Ragachover is medayik from the words, it says lihiyot, the tefillin should be. So what would happen if the tefillin would fall onto my head? And they'd be in the right place. It would still be a mitzvah. My children usually start putting on tefillin with people when they're about 11. Hashem, they're very excited to help me put on tefillin with people. But I taught my children that it's a problem for them to actually tie the tefillin on the hand because they're not yet bar mitzvah. So my children will be putting on tefillin, tell the guy, okay, now you tie it, you make a bracha, you have to tie it. Because otherwise you didn't do the mitzvah properly. When I tie tefillin for somebody, or when you do, since we're already bar mitzvah, we could be a shliach, we could be an agent for somebody. If they don't know how to do it, we could help them tie it for them. So that somebody's obligated in the mitzvah. But a child is a problem. Whereas putting the tefillin on the head is not a problem if a child does it. Or a woman does it who's not obligated in tefillin. Or the tefillin would just get there. In theory, you could invent a robot that could put the tefillin on your head. As long as the tefillin would be on your head, it seems that would be the mitzvah. Conversely, however, in the book of mitzvahs, the Rambam does not seem to say this at all. The Rambam seems very, very much to emphasize that there is a command, lahaniach tefillin, that you have to put on the tefillin. So I don't have an answer for this. It's bothered me for a long time, and I don't know if there is an answer, but it's worthy, it's noteworthy, and I wanted to point it out to you. You should be aware of this, that it's very interesting, seems to be. It's an interesting question here. What is the Rambam ultimately really saying? Why does he use sometimes similar verbiage, or even the same verbiage? And other times, he uses very different verbiage when he talks about the difference between the tefillin on the hand and the tefillin on the head. It's important also to point out that the mitzvah of the hand tefillin and the mitzvah of the head tefillin are two separate mitzvot, which means if somebody doesn't have a hand, chas v'shalom, he could put on tefillin on his head. And if somebody's head is bandaged and you can't get the tefillin to the head, you could still put tefillin on the hand. And that's why there are technically two separate brachot. And because there are two separate brachot, we understand that they are two separate mitzvot. However, when you fulfill them at the same time, then the bracha is one and the same. It's a mitzvah of wearing tefillin. Properly, a person should wear tefillin. It says, kol zman sheyiyu beinecha yishnayim. You wear your head tefillin should be when you already have your hand tefillin on. So ideally, you start putting on the hand tefillin, then you go to the head tefillin because you're supposed to have both on. Which is why we follow the ruling, Alter Rebbe's ruling, where we should not make an interruption. We make a bracha lahaniach tefillin on the hand, and that bracha works for the head as well. Which, by the way, fits very nicely with the Rambam, because the Rambam says the mitzvah lahaniach. The bracha is not likshar al hayad, it's lahaniach. And if we don't make any interruption, then the bracha suffices for both. However, if we did make an interruption, then we would have to recite a separate bracha on the tefillin of the head, and that is the bracha of al mitzvat tefillin, the mitzvah of tefillin, which means that a Jew should be muchtar, crowned with the tefillin on his head. And there's so much more, but that's all the time we have for now.